What's up, guys? Max here, back with a brand new episode of the Scuttlebutt Show. I hope you're all doing great. What's up to everybody in the chat? R. Kunkel, Eric, Iron Lotus, somebody dropping spam already. 1 gram of Sam, Harry Lime Pie with a $2 super chat. Thank you so much. And MC with a $2 super chat. Thank you so much. You guys always truly humble me. Eviana, what's up? Welcome to the show. I've got a big show for you guys today. And let me start it, as we typically do, with the about yesterday. So about yesterday's story on that F-35 crash, just a quick update on that. I got read an article this morning, the news that apparently one person off that ship is in critical condition. And unfortunately, that's going to lead us right into our first story, which is this. F-35 crash off Carl Vinson is the ship's fifth major mishap in 2 months. Do you guys see a trend there? Is this another example of fatigue or something? Is this going to end with a collision? Only time will tell, I guess. This is the point where, you know, you might say, well, hopefully this is the wake-up call before it's too late. But an F-35 crash, it's too late. That's what the military would call a Class A mishap, which is $1 million or more in damage or serious injury and death. That's where the Navy values your life, I guess, is at that $1 million mark. And this incident for sure cost over $1 million. And we're still waiting to hear if the damage to the ship has impacted the flight schedule. Will they be able to fly, launch, and recover safely? Who were those people who got injured? What roles did they play? We don't know the answers to those questions, but we do have a little more information on the crash. An F-35 Charlie Lightning aircraft, Lightning II, fighter suffered a landing mishap on the deck of the Carl Vinson in the South China Sea on Monday. 7 sailors injured, 3 medevaced, 1 in critical condition, and they were medevaced to Manila in the Philippines, which does give you a clue as to how serious these injuries were, because they didn't take the time to fly them to a American, you know, high-level military hospital. The care in the Philippines is that the military could offer is low level at best. So they would have to go to a civilian hospital in the Philippines to get some probably life-saving care. Between November 22nd and Tuesday, Carrier Air Wing 2 reported 4 other major incidents involving aircraft. So these are all aviation mishaps. Navy Safety Center data shows that the first incident on November 22nd was an in-flight engine fire aboard an F-18, which could have been, you know, fuel-related, maintenance-related anomaly. You know, but luckily that aircraft was able to land. 2 days later, an MH-60 Romeo helicopter unexpectedly lost its sonar dipping equipment while conducting flight training, which means it probably literally fell off the aircraft. That would be a TFOA incident, things falling off aircraft. So that's not good at all. The third incident on November 29th involved another F-18. An issue with the plane's left engine forced its pilot to shut it down and land using the other good engine, a one-engine landing, which is very scary if you have to do a wave off. And then finally, on December 31st, a CMV-22 Bravo had an engine firewall on the deck of the Carl Vinson. So what is going on the flight deck of the Carl Vinson? Wow, that's sketchy for sure. When asked about the string of mishaps, the Navy Lieutenant Nicholas Lingo, who's the spokesman, said all 5 incidents remain under investigation and they cannot speak to any pattern until the investigation concludes. But that's all out of the same air wing. That's all off of the same ship, all off of the same flight deck. If I was the crew of that ship, I'd be pretty sketched out right now. I'd be pretty, you know, nervous. My confidence kind of shot as to what's going on the flight deck. Is that air boss have everything under control? Is that CO have everything under control? It's definitely time to maybe do some sort of safety stand down or figure it out, or just do an all stop on flight operations until maybe they do some kind of evaluation by what's called the wing or the higher level of management of aircraft. So maybe get a representative from the wing of each type of aircraft. So helicopters, F-35s, F-18s, CV-22s, CMV-22s, and get somebody out there to maybe do an inspection of their maintenance practices, their flight deck practices, something like that, because that's 5 major mishaps. That's pretty wild. That's a lot. That's a significant amount. So I want to follow up on that story, and I have a big show for you guys today. We have a lot of stuff, a lot of stories to go over, a lot of stories, including we're going to be reacting to a new movie trailer, which should be a lot of fun. And then if anybody's wondering, I do plan on booting up squad after this episode and playing some rounds. I hope that my crew out there is available and we can go get our squad on. I'm looking forward to it if you guys are available and can make that happen. That'd be absolutely awesome. We've talked about social media. We talk about a lot of social media stuff. People, military and social media, you know, a lot of missteps done there. We're going to talk about some of that. Social media just in general is a black hole, an absolute black hole. People go on there and just make mistakes, just make mistakes. We've all been there. I went back and looked at my old Facebook from like 2009, 2010. I shared some jokes on there, some memes that would not fly today in the PC woke generation. I mean, that's the thing. You try to post something on social media, you want maybe like five people to see it. You think that they'll get it. You think that it's funny and it'll be funny to them. You're probably right. You know, that's your opinion. That's your sense of humor. That's your group's sense of humor. But the whole world can see it. So that's where you get in trouble. Now, recently, in the last year, and I've called this for the last several years, I've been calling this since 2017. The military is going to start sucking up seats in the government. The military veteran community, as the post-9/11 generation separates and retires, are going to transition into government roles. That is going to happen. It is happening. There's like seven Navy SEALs running for Congress in the 22 election cycle. And then we've got this guy. Twitter locks out retired Green Beret congressional candidate over pro-Second Amendment tweet. Or is that the whole story? Let's see. We've got retired U.S. Army Green Beret and congressional candidate Joe Kent was locked out of his Twitter account for hours last week over a tweet defending American Second Amendment rights. But let's see if it was that cut and dry. The Republican candidate for Congress in Washington State was suspended for more than 8 hours for apparently violating the social media platform's rules. Just remember, guys, as of today, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and these other companies are being used to hire human smugglers over the to traffic people over the border to commit all kinds of insane crimes. And Twitter was where ISIS thrived. When I was fighting ISIS, not only was I at war with ISIS, I was at Twitter war with ISIS. Okay, so this is absolutely not a company that I have any respect for. I don't believe if they say that they stand up for, you know, information and truth and rightness and any of morality. I don't believe them on any of those aspects. Okay. It's just not true. Twitter's a dumpster fire company. So is Facebook. And it's not that these companies necessarily should be canceled or shut down because they're just, you know, not ethical. Although you could make an argument there, I'm sure. I wouldn't necessarily go that far. My beef comes when they claim to be. When they claim to be the standard of ethics and truth, and, you know, ISIS and drug smugglers and human traffickers use their platform to distribute and create crime and illegal content and all that stuff. Anyway, off my soapbox here. Today, I was suspended for defending 2A and calling out Washington State's COVID policies, including the potential of forced quarantine. I will never stop defending our Second Amendment and fighting COVID mandates, Kent tweeted on Thursday after the suspension. He says, today I was suspended for defending 2A and all that on a tweet. He says, when I get elected to Congress, I will help break up big tech. You know, popular buzzword. He seems to be running on the Trump President Trump policy train, the America First, the Make America Great Again campaign, where a lot of politicians are just riding those exact same talking points, those exact same ideas, and they're going to try to, you know, get into politics via that path. Pretty easy path, I would say. He says, when I get elected to Congress, I'll break up big tech. And in that tweet, he wrote, we will never give up our guns. Gun laws are infringements. So this is the tweet that got him suspended. We will never give up our guns. Gun laws are infringements of our God-given rights. Washington State is back at it. A week ago, we called a board of health discussing forced quarantine. Now the legislature going after our Second Amendment. No Second Amendment plus forced quarantine equals Australia. So if you guys have seen what's going on in Australia, it seems that there are, you know, definitely a lot of protests and resistance to COVID policies and mandates and all that stuff. I'm not an expert on what's going on in Australia. I've seen it on the news. The deal here seems to be that he wrote a tweet that was combining COVID and Second Amendment, which the internet definitely hates. I'm probably getting canceled right now as we speak. Initially, Twitter did not provide any details on the offending tweet, which you know that they do not do. Like when I got a strike on YouTube here, nothing, got no information. But speaking to Breitbart News, Kent speculated that his suspension was due to his criticism of President Joe Biden's recklessly escalating tensions between Russia and Ukraine. He claims that his suspension is without cause. In the past 24 hours, I've tweeted my concerns about Biden recklessly escalating tensions with Russia over Ukraine. It's clear Twitter is trying to silence credible voices that are questioning Biden's disastrous foreign policy. If you guys aren't following Twitter, Jack Dorsey, CEO, was replaced by somebody new. I don't remember that person's name, but they've been going through a lot of changes over there. I'm not sure what's going on with Twitter. I don't really tweet, so I'm not really sure how Twitter handles this type of stuff. What is typical behavior versus atypical behavior? This is big tech limiting my voice as an American and as a political candidate. It's very telling that they focused on me over my take on an issue that is bipartisan establishment and mainstream media support, another war. The establishment is craving war and won't tolerate dissent. That's from Kent here, who's running for Congress, like we were talking about. Now, there is special rules for public officials and social media. Like, there's definitely guidance on how public officials should behave on social media, how their social media pages should be. I don't think that it's very good. It doesn't make a lot of sense, the fact that Twitter is like the official platform by which people spread important news, like alerts of disaster, attacks, earthquakes, fires, floods, right? Twitter is like the official source of information. I've seen a lot of maybe active shooter situations that are being declared unsafe and then safe via Twitter updates from the official entities, like the Naval Hospital in San Diego, when there was an active shooter alert there, and we covered this story. They ended up saying, you know, active shooter alert, shelter in place. Should Twitter be the place that you get your active shooter alerts from? What if you don't have Twitter on your phone? Like, it seems like a completely broken system, for sure. The government should have their own .gov type situation here, where people can get the information from their elected officials and representatives. That's my personal belief here. But until they do so, they're using Twitter, Facebook, I don't know, MySpace, whatever, to get the, probably not MySpace, to get the word out. So we'll see. Is this, and I ask you now, do you believe that Twitter has a beef against conservatives or Republicans, and that they are more likely to ban conservatives or Republicans for speech than they are liberals or maybe social civil rights, social justice organizations? Let me know in the comments. I'd be curious to hear what you have to say. So Kent is a critic of the permanent ruling class, telling Breitbart that his disgust for the establishment and his support for President Donald Trump is what pushed him to run for Congress. He said Trump tried to get troops out of Syria for the first time, and we all saw what happened after that. Defense Secretary Mattis and the rest of the permanent ruling class in the Pentagon and the government turned against President Trump in an effort to keep our troops overseas and deployed. Ken said, adding that Trump was restoring the will of the American people to Washington, D.C. and doing the right thing for the security of our country. Now, I'm not a Washington bureaucrat and I'm not a general, and I don't know too many people who are, but I have noticed this kind of turn on Mattis and a lot of the other generals and a lot of the other military. People have really fallen out of favor with or generals and, you know, flag star officers have really fallen out of favor with the public. And I do wonder sometimes, you know, without a doubt, without question, there's corruption and nefarious activity and fraud and all that stuff going on. But I also wonder how many of these decisions to keep troops in the Middle East was out of a sense of duty to those countries. Like, we've been in there, we've had troops fighting in there. Maybe people are too attached. Maybe people are too close to the problem and just can't let it go. I don't know. Just something to think about. I'll leave you guys with that, and you can leave me a comment on how all that made you feel. Love to hear it. Let's see. What's going on in the chat here? MC says, spitting truth. 1 gram Sam says, nothing like receiving foreign policy goals via Twitter. Yep. Let's see. Break up big tech. That doesn't sound Trumpy at all, but it's hard to put people in a category on the stereotypical political scale. Yep. Biden was assigned by Obama to focus on Ukraine for 8 years. First time in history a vice president has ever given that much control over a singular nation. The new CEO of Twitter said it wasn't a free speech website, I believe, the day after he took over. I remember that, Jason, actually. Now that you say that, that rings a bell. It's true. Probably true. Hunter was part of Burisma. Yes, all that stuff is very suspicious. MC says, I miss MySpace. 1 gram of Sam says, I'm going to create a social media app called FaceSpace. It's time. Do it. Send it. Everyone's profile pic is a super zoomed in pic of their face so we can take each other seriously. Yes, only like mouth to eyebrow. That should be it. And it should be a rectangle. Let's see. BZ Tommy, what's up? Welcome to the chat. Welcome to the chat. Please engage. Engage the chat now. The Army. You guys know when I say the Army, we're in for something good. The Army. The Army. Look out. I think I have PTSD. When I say the Army, I'm like, oh, duck. Bullets flying through the window. The Army is in today's show a couple times, and The first one is, it's just funny. It's just funny. I love it. Let's talk about it. U.S. Army mocked for using apparent Lana Del Rey quote in recruitment advert. Are you guys ready for some of that summertime sadness over here? The U.S. Army has been mocked for using a quote that it attributed to Lana Del Rey as part of a recruitment advert. By the way, you know, writing this book, I've learned a lot of things. You can't publish song lyrics. I don't know if you guys know that. You are not allowed to publish an artist's copyrighted song lyrics if you're trying to use official writing publications. I don't think that Twitter counts, but just now you guys know that, just so you know. On Saturday, January 22nd, a post on the military's Twitter account read, "Being brave means knowing that when you fail, you don't fail forever. Lana Del Rey." And then it has a female soldier crawling under barbed wire with a ponytail and some paint on her face. You should have watched my Talk Talks where I paint my face. You would have done it better than what I'm looking at in this picture. I see a lot of exposed skin, unsatisfactory. You're going to be seen by the enemy and captured probably. It says here, musicians including Lucy Dacus made light of what people online heightened as a random quote, highlighted as a random quote by the U.S. Army writing, "I would like to thank this post for convincing me to get a lobotomy." Yeah, who over at the U.S. Army Twitter knows Lana Del Rey lyrics? We got to get that right off the bat, hashtag Soldier Saturday on this tweet. What person in the U.S. Army Twitter social media office is like, "I've got the perfect Lana Del Rey quote for this tweet"? You know, it kind of, you know, pull your card, get your card pulled on that one. Although I listen to quite a bit of Carly Rae Jepsen, you know, call me maybe if you want to. Others cast doubt on the quote's credibility. A fan claimed Lana Del Rey not only never said these words, but also refused to promote military recruitment and canceled a whole high budget music video you were supposed to sponsor. Stay away from her. I don't know if they're saying stay away from her because they love Lana Del Rey and they don't want her name tarnished, or because Lana Del Rey hates the military. And I don't know. That note appears to corroborate with that of author and director Dylan Park, who suggested that Del Rey wouldn't have approved of the message. LOL, years ago I was going to direct an LDR Lana Del Rey music video. The theme was World War II to present day military Americana, like some Marilyn Monroe USO stuff. The Army was going to finance it. Tanks, helicopters, the works. But Army wanted to use the video for recruiting, and LDR said F that. I love LDR. The U.S. Army's tweet also caught the eye of those in politics. Republican commentator Dinesh D'Souza wrote, "This is an extremely low standard for the military of a great nation to aspire to." Right-wing talk show host Jason Rantz added, "Our Army is doomed if Lana Del Rey lyric is supposed to bring in recruits." I don't know. Maybe. If you're trying to recruit more, you know, young people. The U.S. Army has yet to respond to people's reactions, nor has Del Rey. She also recently released a song called Watercolor Eyes, if you guys want to go watch that. So maybe the Army should just stay off Twitter. It seems like when the Army tweets, the internet freaks. When the Army tweets, the internet yeets. Where's yeet in the chat? When the Army tweets, the internet yeets. Let's go with that. I like it. They can't all be winners, guys. I'm doing my best. I'm trying to make this stuff up on the spot. You know, I'm improvising. I'm not the greatest lyricist, but I'm up. I'm good. I am good. And that was just not my best moment. So we'll bring it back. We'll bring it back. This episode's only just getting started. Larry D says, "Who is Lana Del Rey? What's up, Larry? What's up, Nuggets? Searching for signs of life. No Emma found." You know, I bet Emma would respond to a Lana Del Rey song lyric tweet. "That ponytail's about to get caught in a wire," 1 Gram Sam says. Yes, you're right. That is absolutely right. Let's see. "Call Me Maybe is a fantastic song. Video is even better. My other favorite Carly Rae Jepsen song that's on my workout playlist is I Really, 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 Really Like You." That's a great song. "I would like to meet that Army soldier who tweeted that." Yes. Let's see. "Any artist that bashes America better thank their lucky stars they aren't living in Germany in 1942. Hey, anybody should. Any person should thank their lucky stars for that too. Let's see. Oh, yeah. The Army. We've got, you know, just a bunch of Army stories today, I guess. And I'm not mad about that. I like it. Let's talk about this one, because this is as much of an Army story as an Army story gets here on the Scuttlebutt Show. Let's do it. Let's just get into it. Former soldier convicted of murder, but family of veteran who he killed left with questions. This is just the most typical Army story that I have here on the Scuttlebutt Show. A jury has found former Joint Base Lewis McChord soldier guilty of killing an Army veteran after the two spent a night of partying together in rural Washington State. Isn't that always the story? Party too hard, drink too much, maybe do a little of the devil's lettuce, and then before you know it, you're killing each other? Raylan James, 22 years old, so young, was found guilty of murder in the first degree in the death of Leroy Joseph Scott III, whose body was found on April 25th, 2020, off a rural road in Kittitas County. Sentencing is February 14th. The conviction minimum is 20 years. Another former soldier, Joshua Gerald, also 22, has also been charged with murder in connection to Scott's death, and his trial is beginning next month. Oh, man. I am happy with the verdict, just waiting now for the sentencing and the other trial to begin so we can put this behind us, said Leroy Scott, the victim's father. All three men served together in JBLM, Joint Base Lewis McChord's 555th Engineering Brigade, the Triple Nickel. Is that still the Triple Nickel? According to service records provided by base officials, Scott, who was known to his family as Trey, left the Army in December 2019. James and Gerald were active duty soldiers when they were arrested in May 2020 in connection with Scott's death. They both were listed Tuesday as inmates at Kittitas County Jail. Both men are no longer soldiers, said Colonel Joey Sullinger, spokesman for JBLM. Gerald was separated from the Army in November 2020 and James in January 2021. The jury in James' trial heard 6 days of testimony during the 8-day trial and reached a guilty verdict Thursday, according to the lead prosecutor. So, according to cell phone records, the three men's phones were together at an apartment in Ellensburg, Washington, the night Scott died, according to evidence presented in court. The gathering was a 20th birthday party for Scott in a town about 130 miles east of JBLM. 20th birthday. Man, it says DNA evidence played a major role here in the conviction. Records show at about 1:10 a.m., cell phones belonging to Gerald, James, and Scott left the apartment. They arrived 17 minutes later at the location where Scott's body was found, 10 miles outside of town. At 1:55 a.m., records show Gerald and James' phones traveling back towards Ellensburg. So they did all this with their GPS on their phone and just teamed up to go bury the body in what appears to be water, like hide it in water. The autopsy determined Scott died from sharp and blunt force trauma to his head. They described in detail that Scott had been badly beaten and doused in gasoline in an attempt to burn the body. That is freaking horrible. Wow. Where are the Army Corps values at? Aren't there like seven? That sounds like zero of the seven put to use here. Paul McBride, James' defense attorney, countered in his opening statement that much of the evidence gathered in his with his client was circumstantial. The family is relieved to know one trial is behind them, but they do not have a motive for why Scott was killed. They discuss motives, plural, but I don't think they really nailed a motive. We just want to know why. Why did this happen? That's what the family wants to know. Why was their son killed by his battle buddies? I wish I wasn't joking when I say that I'm scared of the Army now. The enemy should be medium scared of the Army, but the Army should be terrified of itself. Look out for your battle buddy. They're probably coming after you. Seriously. Seriously. We only got so many branches, and the Army is a huge target. The odds really aren't in their favor, Sam says. Yeah, very true. Very true. Nugget says, Army stories have sure increased. BZ Tommy says, devil's lettuce, that's spinach, right? Yeah, that's right. You're right. Sam says, well, I just smoked some weed, so I'll probably pop on tomorrow's drug test. Might as well murder. Yeah, might as well do all the crimes at once. Go big or go home. Nuggets says, it sounds like something you would hear on Forensic Files. Yeah, very true. Very true. Sometimes, I'll tell you guys a little thing. I post my TikToks. I post my Instagram, Facebook. I post clips from the show. I do my hashtags. TikTok, when I'm on the TikTok-y, there's limited amount of hashtags. You cannot make a huge description on TikTok. You're pretty limited, like 100 characters or less probably. Maybe like 50 characters. I'm not sure. 50, 100, something like that. Anyway, long story short. I don't always hashtag the Coast Guard. And people get so butthurt. People get so mad if you don't, you know, mention the Coast Guard. We're military too. We're just like everybody else. We're exactly the same. Coast Guard. And I'm like, okay, it's not personal. I just couldn't fit it in the thing. Like, I didn't have a Coast Guard story on today's show. I ran out of space for my hashtags. That's it. All right, leave me alone. Today, I will surely hashtag the Coast Guard with this next story. Stranded duck hunters were in distress when Coast Guard arrived, dramatic video shows. Look at this boat. If you're listening on the podcast, there's a boat that hit low tide and got washed up on the coral here. And the duck hunters are just sitting there outside the boat, stranded, freezing, helpless, with high tide coming in. So who goes to save them? The trusty Coast Guard. So six hunters hopped in a boat to embark on a duck hunting quest, like the one we used to do on Nintendo. I guess you have to go outside to do it now. And they were stranded and in distress on a freezing day in Massachusetts unexpectedly. When local emergency crews couldn't reach them, the Coast Guard flew in on a helicopter and a dramatic video captured this rescue. And I've got the video for you guys. The hunters went out in a marsh near Barnstable Harbor in Cape Cod, but their boat was left high and dry after the tide turned. The Coast Guard Air Station Cape Cod wrote in a Facebook post that day, fearing the extreme cold and knowing the next high tide wouldn't happen until later at night, the hunters phoned for help. After calling 911 at 11:15 in the morning, the fire department rescue crews tried to help them, but the Coast Guard had to intervene after they encountered rough seas, low tides, and mechanical issues. A Coast Guard Jayhawk helicopter swooped in and zeroed in on the marsh to hoist each of the hunters up inside to safety, the video shows. One Coast Guard member wearing a bright orange suit is seen pulling the hunters in the helicopter one at a time. The hunters were okay, but they were a little cold because it was 20 degrees with a low of 11. That's pretty cold. I wouldn't want to be that cold. I don't like being very cold at all. If it was up to me, I would never be cold again. Here's the video. Got a helicopter. No sound on this video, but we got a helicopter coming in. From inside, we can see the crewman looking out, and they're dropping what looks to be, I don't know what that's called, some kind of basket litter. A basket litter down to the ground where you can see somebody's getting in, and they're looking up at the helicopter, hoisted up to safety, which has got to be a weird experience for them, probably very nerve-wracking. Getting the first person in, it looks like, the first person rescued, probably freezing cold, super scared, definitely somewhat embarrassed. Like, hey, man, I'm really sorry you had to come out here like this. We were just trying to get some ducks for whatever reason. Sorry about that. The tide went down. Our boat, you know, went ashore, ran aground, and now we need rescue. So he's chilling. He doesn't know what to do with his hands. He's just sitting there enjoying while they send down the second basket to rescue the other guy. You can see somebody's filming. It must be the guy filming on the ground with like his cell phone or something like that, the basket going down. Looks like he's going to head over. They send somebody else up. Actually, maybe that was the other Coast Guardsman on the ground. And they sent one crewman, because usually be two crew, like a crew chief and a crewman. And the crewman's probably on the ground there. The crew chief probably up in the helo. I like how you look up at the bottom of the helicopter and says USCG for U.S. Coast Guard, so you know who's saving your ass. They pull in that second person. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Rescue that second person. Coast Guards get real-life rescues all the time. Navy wishes they could get, you know, this many rescues. Navy air crewmen, they hope for their whole career to get a rescue. You know, you don't want anything bad to happen to anybody, but you do want to do your job that you've been training for. Yep, so now the last Coast Guard crewman needs to be picked up. He's on his way up, getting hoisted. They leave the boat. Too bad about the boat, huh? Too bad about the boat. And the last man gets in. Good for the Coast Guard. Good for the Coast Guard. Shout out to them. Got them in a story. They deserve it. It's nice to see something good happening for the Coast Guard. What do you guys think? Sam in the chat says, are those coasty rescue swimmers? Those dudes are Greek gods. Yeah, Ashton Kutcher right there, my man. The Guardian. That's actually a really good movie. I like that movie a lot. Do you guys like The Guardian, that movie with Ashton Kutcher? Coast Guard was founded in the great state of Massachusetts. Fun fact. Thank you, MC. Props to the Coast Guard and hunters for sucking it up. Join the Coast Guard and help defeat Darwinism. That's true. That's true. Let's see. Is he filming with a BlackBerry? Larry says, yes, that's old school. Battery life is bar none, though, on the BlackBerry. So the Army, oh, man, what is it today? What is going on today? Hump day, I guess. What is it going on today that the Army had to make so many headlines? You know, I had other stories today. I had other stuff I was going to talk about. But then I go on and I'm doing my daily research, and I couldn't stop finding these dramatic Army stories. And I had to talk about it. This one's from Military Times. Senior Army SOF warrant officer charged with sexual assault. Senior Army SOF warrant recruiter charged with sexual assault. Come on, man. You were almost out. Probably almost retired. A senior member of one of the Army's most selective recruiting units faces a general court-martial, so that's not good. That's the worst kind. In May, on charges that he sexually assaulted a woman in 2019. Oh, man. Oh, man. Chief Warrant Officer 4, Travis Gauss, is assigned to the Special Operations Recruiting Battalion at Fort Bragg, according to U.S. Army Recruiting Command. His unit sources talent for Special Operations units from within the Army. So I don't know if that means recruiting candidates for the Q course, for SFAS, and then the Q course, or if that means for like Delta or a combination of all of that. Gauss was mainly focused on internal recruiting efforts to see current enlisted soldiers to apply to become warrant officers. He has been suspended from all recruiting duties and has been assigned to administrative duties. According to a redacted charge sheet provided by U.S. Army Recruiting, Gauss allegedly committed a penetrative sexual assault against a woman between February 26 and February 28, 2019 in Fayetteville. Jeez, a penetrative SA. The charge sheet lists two specifications of the same event, one accusing Gauss of doing it without the woman's consent, and the second that alleges the woman was incapable of consenting because she was under the influence of alcohol, or he should have known that she was incapable of consent. Jeez Louise. Gauss declined to comment through his attorney. We are looking forward to proving his innocence at the trial, his attorney said. Innocent until proven guilty, as always, but the general court-martial was... That's a serious business right there. You do not want to end up at a general court-martial. It says, it's not clear whether the case was previously investigated by civilian authorities before being taken to trial in the military justice system. Recent court rulings could potentially have an impact on his case. After a 2020 Supreme Court decision, military court-martials are the only remaining legal system in the country that do not require unanimous jury verdicts, although they have been overturning that lately. In recent cases, especially involving SA, military courts have been requiring unanimous votes for guilty verdicts. They're referencing that story here. A lieutenant colonel facing a SA trial in Europe successfully asked a military judge to support a unanimous decision for guilty. So if that's the case, it will need to be the full jury of his peers find him guilty based on evidence presented at the trial by the prosecution. The prosecution, of course, has the burden of proof. The defendant has the privilege of being presumed innocent until proven guilty. So we'll see what happens with this. But damn. You know, senior ranking warrant officer, special forces, things are going well, and then get caught up in this. Whatever the situation was, whatever the circumstances were that led to this, they were not worth it. Not worth it at all. And he was a real special forces soldier. You know, there are fakers out there. There are people who would want you to believe that they're special forces. Because, you know, you get the clout, you get jobs, you get the ladies, you get the bros, you know, you get the high fives and the free drinks out there doing God's work, doing the badass stuff. But most legitimate SF people, like the real deal, they will reserve that kind of attitude, you know, maybe socially. A little braggadocious amongst their peers, potentially, but not just to strangers and usually not to get jobs. And let's talk about this guy. He told investors he was a spec ops war hero. Prosecutors say it was a ruse. I don't know if that's how you say ruse, but let's go with that. Derek Robert Ham, 38, regaled potential investors with claims of being a successful oil man, the nephew of a billionaire oil tycoon, end of being a decorated Special Operations Forces war hero from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. What is this, like a 1980s TV show? He's like a cartoon character. He also purportedly claimed to own oil wells and have been awarded the Distinguished Service Cross for actions while deployed in the Middle East. That's a really high up award. None of that is true, according to a press release in January 20th from the Eastern District of Texas District Attorney's Office. Instead, Ham was a failing oil businessman whose first company, Oilfield Goods and Services, had been shut down for tax reasons, court documents show. The second company, Continental Instruments, had seen its charter revoked by the state of Texas in 2018. According to court records, he had also been successfully sued by his so-called billionaire oil typhoon uncle for not only falsely claiming familial relation, but also for marketing himself as a high-ranking part of Continental Resources Incorporated, an American petroleum and natural gas exploration and production company. If your uncle is suing you, if your family is suing you, you're probably a major dirtbag. The 33-count indictment against Ham also alleges that in addition to these claims of success and power in the oil industry, he lied about being a war hero in order to solidify investors, going out telling war stories. Oh, man. Stolen valor. According to court documents, the guardsman allegedly claimed that he was a 2003 West Point grad. That's a big lie right there. Had spent 10 years in the Army serving multiple tours in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other Middle Eastern countries. Prosecutors say he told people that he was a sergeant despite having attended the service academy with 1st Battalion, 5th Group, Delta Company. So maybe if you're listening to this, you're like, wait, what? If you go to West Point and graduate and commission as an officer, you're never going to be a sergeant because sergeant is not a rank as a commissioned officer. So bada bing, bada boom, any veteran in the room could have spotted the fraud right there. Court documents allege that Ham also claimed he received a Silver Star, the second highest award, Bronze Star, second highest award besides the individual branches' crosses, Bronze Star and Purple Heart in addition to the Distinguished Service Cross. Ham's actual service record, according to the indictment, shows that he instead received non-valor-related awards of the Iraq Campaign Medal, Combat Infantry Badge, Army Service Ribbon, and Global War on Terrorism Service Medal. If that's all he had, then that's a terrible ribbon rack right there. That's not an impressive rack. He had also been discharged from the Oklahoma National Guard in 2007 after transferring following deployment. It shows he was a master airborne soldier with 258 combat jumps. Oh, he said that he was a master airborne soldier with 258 combat jumps. Maybe somebody in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there have been very many combat jumps in Iraq and Afghanistan. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure there have not been a lot of those. Please, in the chat, if you know better than me, please let me know. He was, thanks to making these outrageous stolen valor claims, he was able to create an extensive network that led him to investors, and he convinced the fund to fund plans relating to oil and gas drilling industry. He used $1.7 million he defrauded people out of to buy personal gifts, including $500,000 on jewelry and vehicles for himself and his family. He's got a family? Oh my God. For these claims and the benefits that stem from them, Ham was charged with 31 counts of wire fraud, money laundering, and using a fraudulent military discharge certificate because he had a fake DD-214. I was just looking at my own DD-214 this morning, and if you fraudulently fill out a DD-214, you are such a scumbag. Oh my God, what a scumbag. He also violated the Stolen Valor Act of 2013, making it illegal to fraudulently wear medals, embellish ranks or service records as they relate to combat, or to make false claims of service in order to obtain money, property, employment, or other tangible benefits. It's not a crime to just wear fake uniforms, although, you know, it should be. It only becomes a crime if you use it to prosper, okay? Everyone out there, if you see some people on the street and you want to go stolen valor, just wait, because you know you might be wrong by doing that. In addition to his alleged fraud scheme, Ham was additionally indicted on two counts of being a felon in possession of firearms and ammunition because he was convicted in 2020 for theft of property in Smith County. So he's a criminal as well. He was prohibited from owning firearms or ammunition after a 2005 conviction for assaulting a family member. This guy is the worst type of person. Everything about him is wrong. He's horrible in every way. And now hopefully he goes to jail for a really long time. He could get up to 20 years, though. That's the maximum. I would think that with his history, with his behavior, the court would give him maximum punishment with some kind of parole option because he's a hazard. He shouldn't be out on the streets. The case is being prosecuted by Assistant U.S. Attorneys Robert Austin Wells and Ryan Locker. If anybody has any information, you can contact the FBI. But just look at him. Does he look like legit? You know, if you're listening on the podcast, he's got this giant, you know, reckless beard. His beard is reckless. It's like an old, you know, farm country beard. And he's got like a nice haircut. He's got nice groomed hair. And then just his beard could have a bird's nest in it. Okay. So that's this guy, I guess. Leave me your thoughts on that in the comments. I would love to hear it. What a disaster. What a disaster that guy is. Holy guacamole. So what's going on here? Let's see. Graduated as a sergeant, Sam says. He's a humble man, claimed a Silver Star instead of the Medal of Honor. Good for him. What's the requirement to get Purple Stars? Purple Stars? Do you mean Purple Hearts, or are you saying Purple Stars as a joke? Because Purple Stars is kind of funny, actually. Let's see. 258 combat jumps. Yep. I'm not sure how many there's been in the post-9/11 war, but I think there's only been maybe a handful. H-Nah says, I think I've met one person in 15 years with a mustard stain from one jump. Yeah. Yep. That's probably way more accurate. Worst Santa ever, Sam says. Yep. I wish that was the last fraud story that I had today. Unfortunately, it's not. I've got one more. I do. I hate this next story. This is the stuff that I find gets to me the worst, because it's a violation of some of the most sacred trusts that we're supposed to have in the system. Which, you know, if you still have trust in the system, I don't know what to tell you. Good on you for being an optimist. But I pretty much, you know, don't. I question everything now. I really don't trust anybody. If somebody tells me they're prior military or whatever, they're good with me until proven otherwise. But when it comes to stuff like this next story, my confidence is in the system is out. My trust is shaken. I'm much more suspicious now than I used to be. And that's because of stuff like this. She helped $15 million TRICARE fraud scheme to push unneeded drugs on vets, keeping veterans medicated so she could keep money in her pocket. What should be the punishment for that? Leave a comment. Man, this stuff is so sick. For more than 2 years, Bonnie Jean Lawless Diaz, Lawless is in the name, took part in a scheme to defraud TRICARE of nearly $15 million by convincing patients to take unnecessary drugs. You could kill somebody like that. Diaz was sentenced on January 18th to 36 months of probation in order to pay $180,000 in restitution. It should have been 180,000 years in jail and $18 to $36 million in restitution. That's my opinion. You guys let me know what you think. For her role in what prosecutors say was a conspiracy to defraud TRICARE. If you don't know, TRICARE is the healthcare system that military and their family members are enrolled in, as well as retirees. TRICARE. And it's the best healthcare in the world. As far as coverage, you could get better healthcare, but I'd be interested to hear you say you can get better coverage at that cost. Doubt it. Diaz, who's 46 from Slidell, Louisiana, pled guilty on September 23rd to one count of misprision of the commission of a felony. I'm not sure what that word means. According to a release from the Justice Department, misprision is the legal term for knowingly concealing the commission of a felony. Interesting. It's misprision, misprision, is the legal term for knowingly concealing the commission of a felony. Diaz received her sentence from a federal judge before the Eastern District of Louisiana Federal Court on January 18, 2021. Those entrusted with providing healthcare services to veterans and their families will be held accountable should they violate that trust, Special Agent Jeffrey Breen says. Healthcare fraud is not a unique crime, according to National Healthcare Anti-Fraud Association. As much as 10% of total healthcare expenditures, some $300 billion annually, are due to fraud. Crazy. Diaz participated in the TRICARE health fraud conspiracy, which ran from March to 2014 to October 2016. Blah. During this time, Diaz knowingly submitted or caused to be submitted prescriptions for compounded medications without medical necessity. It's one thing to launder money or defraud money, you know, and you're scamming the system and that money goes in your pocket, but to coerce veterans to take unnecessary medications for your own profit, that's nightmarish. She concealed that she knew these medications were unnecessary until discovered by investigators. That's the misprision, I guess, misprision. According to the FDA, a compounded medication is two or more drugs combined and tailored to meet specific needs. Examples include eliminating certain dyes that a patient might be allergic to or changing prescription from a solid to a liquid form. Due to their customization, once drugs are compounded, they lose FDA approval. The DOJ states that through the course of the conspiracy, the owner of a pharmacy contracted through various entities to collect co-payments from TRICARE beneficiaries to be reimbursed for the unnecessary medications, which were subsequently never doled out. At that point, the pharmacy worked through co-defendant Donald Ozine to market the drugs to individuals who did not need them, along with doctors who were willing to prescribe them even without medical necessity to do so. according to prosecutors. The pharmacy then dispensed the unnecessary prescriptions to TRICARE beneficiaries and other healthcare benefit programs and defrauded TRICARE through kickback payments, waived and credited copayments while submitting false and fraudulent claims for reimbursement. What do you even say? What do you even say about that? That's horrible. Horrible. Ozine, who has yet to be sentenced, pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit healthcare fraud in September. He faces up to 10 years in prison, a $250,000 fine, 3 years supervised release, $100 special assessment fee, and restitution for $1.2 million. So this is a TRICARE fraud, close to $15 million that they're now getting justice for. But can you ever really get justice for the veterans who are pushing pills down their throats that they didn't need? I don't know. I don't think so. That story breaks my heart. Absolutely sickens me. And thank God we have something better to end the show with that we're going to get to here in a second. So what's going on in the chat? Let's see. OMFG, people suck, Sam says. Larry D says, is keelhauling the correct punishment for this? It might be. MC says, death penalty. Sam says, Coasties are the only ones with a win today. Yeah, that's true. Iron Load is guilty, and I'm not even a veteran. Never thought I would use crook as an insult, but now it's true. Yeah. Buford says, Gurr, this headline pissed me off already because I have to help three vets to get to the VA. Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely. All three of these guys just want some weed. I feel you. When I get back to the States, I might look into that too. She should be prosecuted for every patient individually. She could have ruined or attributed to people ruining or taking her own life. She's got to go. MC, nailed it on the head. Nathan says, sorry for my words, but why? Nathan, I think I missed your comment because I realized I am not looking at the full chat today. I forgot to turn that on. So I hope I didn't miss your comment. Let's see. Can I go back and find it? I'm not sure. If I missed your comment, I do apologize. Let's see. How does this affect recruiting and faith in the military government if scammers are going to take advantage of the people who sign? I guess you just need a better Lana Del Rey quote. Is there nothing else to fraud than healthcare? 10% of healthcare is fraud. Isn't that crazy? Let's see. Why would you fraud an effing healthcare, Nathan said. Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe because it's an easy victim. Maybe because once you have access to the healthcare system as a doctor or as a trusted person who can prescribe medications, you have a lot of power. You have tons of authority. You can move tons of money. You can be influenced by pharmaceutical companies and device companies to use their products. And then you get a little bonus every time you do. You know, a little kickback. It could be under the table. It could be legit. You know, that's how it goes. So you gotta, there should be, maybe there is, but there should be like a website where you can check the ethical rating of a doctor. Like if they get bad reviews for like bad ethical stuff, that should be totally transparent so that you can find that stuff out. Because that is really disgraceful. And this next story might be disgraceful too, but I'm not even sure. Have you guys seen the trailer for the new movie Moonfall? About, I don't know what it's about, but apparently the moon is going to explode and destroy Earth. Or maybe there's an alien on the moon, living in the moon, and it's gonna come to life and destroy Earth or something like that. Big movie. Big blockbuster movie coming out next month. Do you guys know, are you familiar with the practice of copycat filmmaking? Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Check this out. Moon Crash looks like the low-budget space disaster movie that America needs right now. Oh my gosh. I love these knockoff movies. I love them. Director Roland Emmerich's Moonfall looks like one of the best Save the Planet sci-fi movies to come along in a while. Because for every Armageddon, you've got a Deep Impact. You know what I'm saying? But it won't open in theaters until February 4th. If you can't wait that long, you can watch Moon Crash on February 1st. Moon Crash is the latest blockbuster knockoff from the shameless copycats at The Asylum. The Asylum is a movie studio who makes every big movie that comes out, they make a knockoff, and they're awesome. I mean, they're bad. Like, they're bad in every way, but they are awesome in how bad they are, if that makes sense. Asylum, a studio that got its start grinding out straight-to-video movies that had titles that were confusingly similar to recent action-packed hits. For example, in 2016, they released Sinister Squad, which was a knockoff of Suicide Squad. So Moon Crash was originally titled Meteoroid, but the company, the marketing department seems to have stepped up, slapped an appropriately confusing title on the film just before the release. Have you ever accidentally watched a copycat movie instead of the real thing? I have. So this movie is coming out February 1st. You should be able to watch it on streaming. And it looks like it's going to be exactly what you might expect it's going to be. And I've got the trailer right here. So how will the government and NASA save America from the moon exploding and taking us all out? Let's see. We can watch it right here. We're going to check this out. We're going to check out Moon Crash, the trailer, right here.
We are on a deadline. Let's go full torque.
We've hit a major fault line. Shut down the drill.
So, of course, the first question is, why are you drilling into the moon? It shall be revealed in the plot. But I didn't know the moon had fault lines. I don't know. I don't know these facts. I can't fact check this movie, but let's just go with it for now. I'm having a good time.
The debris shot out rapidly during the collapse.
A meteoroid, sir, headed straight for Earth. We have only ETA 12 hours.
That's how my wife's like, do you want some cake? And I'm like, yes. She's like, how much? I say, a giant piece. Just bring me the whole tray. I want a giant piece of cake.
A collision this size, we are done here.
Some of the faster moving moon fragments already impacting around the world.
Logan's ship. It has access to materials we can use to deflect the meteoroid away from Earth.
Whip an EMP straight at the meteor.
Look out!
We have to get to the solar power station.
They're going
to
have me in the...
This has Sharknado special effects written all over it, which the thing that I love about Sharknado special effects and like Asylum movie special effects is nobody bothered to take the time to do what's called compositing, which is where you make the special effect look like it belongs in the shot, like the color correction, the depth of field, the heat blur, the film grain, all that stuff, the white balance, you know, making it match the actual shot. Who has time for that stuff? Who cares? Just, you know, we got to get this movie out. Moonfall is coming out. We got to get Moon Crash out first.
Created global defense using nuclear weapons.
Meteors just hit San Francisco.
15 minutes to impact.
Step it back, Nina!
Do it now.
Bryce!
Hey, moon is about to be destroyed.
Moon Crash. So how are they going to save us? How will they save us? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but on February 1st, when I go without telling anybody and rent Moon Crash for $4.99 on iTunes and watch it, I'll let you guys know how it was. That's one that I'm really looking forward to. Are you guys looking forward to it? Let me know in the comments down below. I'm curious to hear it. So that's going to wrap it up for today's show, guys. Until I'm going to take my dog out for a walk, and I'll be back to play Squad. I hope you guys are ready to join me to mess some fools up. You don't want to be in the other squad when our crew's on squad, because we're going to squad your squad all over your little squad. Let's see what's going on in the comments here. Let me catch up on that really quick. It is a fact that the moon is moving farther away from Earth 1-3 inches per year. Interesting. The best horrible movie ever, Mars Attacks. That is great. South Koreans also make better moon-related movies. The Silent Sea is better. Oh, yeah, I want to watch that on Netflix, actually. That's why I look for clips on YouTube before I see a movie to know what I'm watching. Yep. How is this the mill? Oh, Space Force. Yeah, got Space Force is in the house. Mars Attacks was a great film. If customers are happy, they leave no comment, but one complainer can ruin your reputation. Yep, early 2000 special effects. That's a moon NATO. Yes, that's right. That's right. Watch The Silent Sea. I'll check that out. Thank you for the recommendation. That might be the little push that I needed to actually go watch that. I've been eyeing it on Netflix. It's recommended to me. I'll be in squad with you. My name is going to be Maximus Buttimus. I love it. I love that name, and I look forward to seeing you there. Finally, a squad game. Yes, I know it's been a while. The gaming's tough out here with the timing being in Okinawa and everything like that. Smoking fools and lighting up chumps. That's what we're going to be doing. You don't want to be in the other squad because we are like the reservists in GK and have a blue-on-blue. Yes. Hopefully no blue-on-blues today by me. So thank you guys for watching that episode. For some of you, I'll see you shortly. Stay tuned for the notification from that. For the rest of you, I will see you tomorrow. If you guys get a chance and you're willing to, go to my Facebook page, leave a review of the show, go to the podcast, leave a review of the show, share the videos on your social media because I'm posting all the clips now as their own individual videos, so go check that out. Trying to grow the channel, trying to keep it going. I appreciate your guys' assistance in any way. Harry Lime Pie, $2 super chat for Doggy Snacks. I guarantee you that'll go right to Doggy Snacks. I promise it. And with all that being said, I look forward to talking to you all very soon. For now, that's the Scuttlebutt.